Friends, welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 2, Episode 29 of the podcast, and it's August 6th, 2024, which means today is the 50th anniversary of a revered, iconic Grateful Dead performance in Roosevelt Stadium. That was August 6th, 1974. And this is a beloved show for good reason. So many awesome performances. And joining me today, well, actually it was a Zoom call a few days ago, I had with Doug Schmell, who's been on the show before, prodigious Grateful Dead taper, Jerry Garcia enthusiast to the core. We had an amazing conversation, nice long. We really get into the show at Roosevelt Stadium. So let's jump right into that.
Let's see.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to bring back to the Deadology Podcast, Doug Schmell. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, how you doing, Howie? How's everybody doing out there? It's great to be here. Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, Howie.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. The people love hearing from you. And today we're going to delve into a classic, another classic 74 show on its 50th anniversary, Roosevelt Stadium, a place that the Grateful Dead kind of took over for from 72 through 76. They played some awesome shows there. This is August 6th. And they open up with Bertha. But before we even get into the music of that night, I don't know if you know this. I just found this out. I was doing some research online. This show was supposed to be on, I believe, Saturday
August,
night.
Yeah, Friday night, August 2nd.
Right, and
it rained out so heavily. They were waiting it out, but it continued to rain. It became dangerous because, you know, lightning, you're at an outdoor stage, a metal stage. And they canceled it, you know, right then and there, you know, after people were already filling the stadium and people were mad. There was catcalls, there was booing, but, you know, they were like, look, we'll make it up to you. So 4 days later, and boy, did they make it up to them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think the crowd that night was chanting rain or shine. They really wanted to see the Grateful Dead. Who could blame them? But everything turned out good. So this ended up being the last show of the little summer tour here. And they get it going with Bertha. So
just
what
to
do you
get
think of the show as it kicks off.
Yeah, people don't realize they were on an unbelievable run. I mean, they played some great shows leading up to this. You know, obviously you have those summer shows starting with the one we had discussed a few weeks ago in Iowa City. They rolled through that summer tour. Is phenomenal. It really is. And then they have these great shows at the end of July. There's a couple that I don't know as well as the others, but I know the one from Hollywood Bowl in California. That was on July 21st. They do a show also in Chicago, July 25th. Roanoke, Virginia, July 27th. But the ones a lot of people know, like their July 29th show in Landover, is unbelievable with the greatest weather report suite and Let It Grow. You'll probably ever hear.
Let It Grow is amazing.
Two nights later, their show in Hartford, Connecticut at Dillon Stadium is phenomenal. A three-set show, one of my favorite shows. It was released.
That one
as
could
a
be the best of the year. That's definitely a candidate.
Oh, my God. That show is phenomenal. And then this would have been the next show. So they're firing on all cylinders. They're hot as can be. Of course, the show is being canceled. They played two shows in the Civic Convention Hall in Philadelphia. Those were great shows. And, of course, those were released as Dick's Picks 31. And they only had a few songs from the Roosevelt Stadium show. But I'll tell you, this show in its entirety is beyond phenomenal. It really is. It's in the top three or five best shows of 1974. To me, one of the greatest shows of all time. And let me say this, it is one of the greatest first sets of all time. Top three. I'm going on a limb there, Howie. My top three greatest first sets of all time, 5372 London. This show from Roosevelt Stadium, 8674. And you can't discount 5977, that Buffalo War Memorial.
That's an amazing first set.
Unbelievable. This set
Frank,
is right up
with the
there.
Great music.
Oh, yeah. This set,
everything
though,
in between.
Yeah, this set is right up there. Right up there. Starts with the unbelievable Bertha. You know, the sound is not an issue as it was with a lot of these Wall of Sound shows. And they're just really kicking it. You know, that Bertha has got a funky groove to it. A great Jerry jam. I love that jam. It's a little different than other Bertha jams. It's
You could tell
beautiful.
on this night he's dialed in. Everything he's playing is just like so artistic and just right on, man. There's something about his tone and everything he did on this night. So, yeah, you could tell you're off to a great start.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I think the Mexicali was next. It's a very good Mexicali. It's jumping, you know. The Donis that they do after, you would think they really would have hammered, but it was 74. They hardly did Donis. So this was kind of a surprise. And they don't kill it with the jams, but it's still nice sounding. But I'll tell you, great Beat It On Down the Line. And then the fifth song is one of the best songs of that set, is the Sugar Ree. You know, you wouldn't think 74 Sugar Rees are that good, but this one is just perfect, I think. It sounds beautiful. The singing is great. He has a couple of nice jams in it. Oh my God. Beautiful Sugar Ree. I love those 74 Sugar Rees. They're
Yeah,
amazing.
it's definitely it's an interesting man. You got the Sugary and Straw back to back here, and they're both kind of like taking off, man. We know they're going to get great in 77, and they're going to keep growing with the
Exactly.
jams. But they're back to back here, and you could just tell the Grateful Dead are just kind of scratching the surface. But as far as playing the song, there you the beauty of the song really comes through, and the great picking from Jerry on the Straw.
Oh yeah. I would say that as of this point, you know, this Jack Straw might be the best one they had ever done up at this moment, because they never did a better one, I don't think. You know,
It
there's
could
some
be,
good
but
ones in
I do like the
72.
one from Philly, which is on Dick's Picks 31. That one's pretty awesome too.
Yeah,
Right up there with this one, but yeah, they're really,
this one's
they
got,
realize they got something there.
oh yeah, even after the solo, while Bobby's singing, Jerry's continuing to hit these beautiful notes. It's just I heard this the other day. So I'll tell you, I'm just enamored with the show. Obviously, the Jack Straw sets up, you know, not only one of the great moments of this show, not only one of the great Grateful Dead moments of 1974, but I'm telling you, I truly believe that the next song, which is The Eyes of the World, is one of the greatest Grateful Dead moments of their history.
One of the
And
greatest
I can prove
performances
it.
ever. Yep.
You know, it's funny. 2 weeks and a half ago, I was going out to a burger joint with a couple of guys. One of the guys who was going with us lives in my neighborhood. So I said, Scott, why don't I pick you up? He has driven me around. You know, we go out as couples. He'll pick up me and my wife with his wife, and he'll drive. So I said, let me, and I'll play some Dead. He's like, great. He's a big Rush fan. That's his favorite band, but he does like the Grateful Dead. And
Hey,
I know he
I've
likes
come
Eyes of
into
the
the car with
World.
this man before, and the music's always very loud, man. I can only imagine what this guy had to endure.
So he know I know he likes Eyes of the World, and I told him, I'm gonna play you a great Eyes of the World. He's like, I love it. I was like, just be careful. I think it's about 19 minutes. He goes, I don't care. I love a good Eyes of the World. So on the way there, we got through those first, what's that, the six songs, I think. But the Eyes of the World was about to begin as we're pulling into the parking lot, and I didn't want him to hear any of it. I wanted him to be able to hear the Eyes of the World in its entirety. So now on the drive back, I put it on, and he first of all couldn't believe the sound of the wall of sound, you know, from this show. And I made mention, like, Scott, this is from this unbelievable time period that had this great sound system called the wall of sound. He immediately went to his phone and was looking up on Google wall of sound. And he got a picture. Doug, is this it? I was like, yes, that's what it looked like. He goes, I get it. They sound phenomenal. He's like, this is incredible. So during the Eyes of the World, we're driving back. I could tell he's into it. He's bopping. He looks at me. He goes, this is fucking awesome. And I never heard
Wow.
that much emotion out of him for a Grateful Dead song. You know, he's a Rush guy. He likes other rock and roll. He likes the Dead, doesn't love them. I don't think he's ever seen them, but I can tell when he looked at me, shook his head, he said, this is fucking awesome. You know, he's talking, he relate about the bass, Phil's bass. He goes, this is incredible. The bass jam, Jerry's guitar. So I knew at that moment, this is the kind of song you can play for a non-Grateful Dead fan. And it happened today as well. My brother Eric was asking, what are you doing today? I told him I had the interview with you, Howie. He was like, oh, what are you talking about? And I said, the show. And he goes, I don't know that show. And I said, look on re-listen. So I told him, by the way, this show is famous. It's got what many people consider the greatest Eyes of the World of all time. So Eric said, I'm going to listen to it. He listened to it. He called me back. He goes, Doug, that was the fucking greatest thing I've ever heard. It's phenomenal. What the hell? Well, how come I didn't know about this before? So two people out of two agreed with me. Guys who like good rock and roll. So my point is, if you like good music, rock music, and you listen to this Eyes of the World, you're going to get it. You're going to get the Grateful Dead. You're going to be like, holy shit, I've been missing out. This band's phenomenal. Listen to these leads by Jerry Garcia. If you don't get it, you're a loser. That's just my, that's just one man's opinion. If you don't get this Eyes of the World, you're a loser. There's something
this
wrong
is the
with
Eyes of the World to show off to people for sure, man, because I'll give you one of my stories. I hadn't seen Phil in a while. My friend Phil from Boston went to see Bob Dylan in Boston. I got a hotel room and I just kind of discovered this Eyes. This was probably like 20 years ago. I said, you're not going to believe this, man. I turned up. We were like dancing around, throwing things around the hotel room. It was nuts, man. It's like you turn somebody onto this. There's no way they're going to be disappointed. You know, it's not good.
If for 19 minutes, it doesn't last like it's 19 minutes because it's so good. The first two jams are unreal. You know, as you mentioned
before
in
we
your book.
Before we continue on with this, I'm going to give, we have to have a nice audio sample of this. So we're going to hear the first two solos with the one verse in between. It's so amazing. Let's just play that and then we'll get into, we'll dig into the size of the world.
Enjoy, folks.
Thank you.
All right, there it is. The first two solos. It's the definitely the best first two solos I've ever heard. Nice. Sure, and years to come, they play longer ones. It's easy to go longer, but you can't get better than that, man. It's perfect. And what Garcia does, which I love with these two solos, the first solo is nuts, man. Even you can hear the crowd cheering through the soundboard. And then solo, he picks up right where he left off. It's like a narrative, you know, like he brilliant, man. And the band is incredible on this night. Everybody's doing exactly the right thing. But Garcia, he dropped two short stories, like right to start off with, just freaking brilliant, man.
Yeah, you do a great review of it in the in your book, you know, the anthology of the 33 Grateful Dead jams. And you really picked this Eyes of the World apart. And you're right. You know, those two jams in between the verses are unbelievable. The first one is like, you know, a minute and change. You had the exact time, you know, you called it right. And then the second one is about 94 seconds, a little longer. Just unbelievable. I mean, you can tell. It's just what's going through Jerry's mind. You know, part of me thinks, like, this guy's a show-off, you know? He's just, like, showing everybody. He's so good. You don't have to be that good, Jerry. You know, curtail it a little. But no, he's really pulling out every stop. I love that about him. He's done that in a bunch of songs over the years, you know, this one in particular. But it really, really, to me, just shows how great of a band. I've never turned somebody onto this song that didn't appreciate it. Even my gym teacher, who's a girl, she's in her 30s. I said, you want to hear something you might like? Because she likes decent music, but, you know, she doesn't know the Grateful
Dead. She's a woman. She's 30.
Right. And she's 36, I think. And she got it. She was like, oh, my God, Doug, this is good. She was bopping. It was a played for her in the gym, you know, and she's like, this is good. So people get it. I mean, this is music of the highest order. You know, this isn't just something that you conjure up overnight. You know, this takes years to refine.
A second. Yeah. It's not like they're going out and say, all right, let's see what we're going to do with this jam. It's like everybody somehow knew what they were going to do. And it's freaking brilliant. Yeah. They never did it before, but everybody was on that same page because the band's incredible too. But Garcia is just breaking away from the pack, man. It's insane.
And the wall of sound, yeah, makes you hear all
arguably the best part of this is to come. I'll let you try to describe what they do after these two solos.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, they go into a nice funky bass jam, which is, again, my friend Scott said, Doug, I can't get over this bass. It's just incredible.
Bill had
and then it's nice. It's not incredibly long, but then they go into the Stronger Than Dirt, you know, Milk and the Turkey type outro jam. And I love it. It's so freaking good. There are so many different variations in this one version. It sounds great. It's so linear. It's not boring. Again, it's not like it's 19 minutes. If you listen to a song, you're like, holy shit, I still got 7 minutes left. You want more. And then that last phase of this jam at the end, Jerry hit some incredible notes that I could hear in my head right now. It's hard. Obviously, I can't mimic it, but it's just so beautiful. It's probably at the 17-minute mark, close to 18. And he's just hitting these notes where you just look and think, how the fuck does he do this? You know, it's improvisation. It's spontaneous. But it takes a genius of a guitar player and a genius of a creative mind to do it. It's not just in the guitar. It's in the brain.
As you mentioned that, I was hearing the licks you were talking about. Yeah. It's so incredible. And then even underneath
they're quick.
Yeah, Garcia's going off. I mean, this is like milking the turkey, strung in the dirt, whatever you want to call it. Nobody's agreed what this outro is actually called.
It doesn't really have a term. Right.
Yeah.
It's easy I to like just to milk say the outro turkey. Jam. Outro jam.
Hey, so they're hitting every twist and turn perfectly, which on a lot of these versions, it's so intricate what they're doing. This one, they hit everything. You know, they've been doing Eyes for about a year and a half now. This one was perfect. The band just hit every part, and they made it easy for Garcia just to go off here.
Oh,
and then
absolutely.
Even when you're listening to Jerry underneath, Weir is just wailing away, and you're like, it's easy to overlook because Garcia's, you have to pay attention to Garcia because he's, you know, he's doing just godlike stuff on guitar, and it just gets hotter and hotter towards the end. Ridiculous.
Yeah. There is no name for it, but I guess if somebody put a gun to my head, Howie, I would call it I'll Meet You at Frenchie's, the outro jam. Meet You at Frenchie's. That's the best way to, that's the only way really to describe it. It's that good. But my point is, to listen to this and not enjoy it, if you like rock music, then something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? This isn't just Grateful Dead. This is like some of the greatest music you will ever hear. improvisation, you know, freeform jam, jazz. There's a lot of jazz in it. It's incredible. Oh, not to mention, you know, Billy's drumming is insane on this version. He's all over the place on this. Phil's bass. Bobby's not so loud in the mix, but he sounds great. Everything. It's just the perfect version. And I know we're talking about it for a long time, but it really merits it. It is, to me, the
Billy's
greatest eyes they've
the
ever
show.
Did.
This is one of his great shows, man.
Absolutely. And the eyes really sets the first set up and makes it, to me, why it's one of the greatest first sets. There are other great Eyes of the Worlds out there, too. You know, 10-1973, we both love. Or the one from, you know, the Nassau Coliseum, 9-7-73 is incredible. Right. You've got the one from 10-1974 in Winterland, to me, is unbelievable. And people like Louisville, which is 6-18-74, I think that one's great. To me, this one's the best. Start to finish, this one is the best.
Easily, and then it's just a question of which is number two, and all these other ones you mentioned are great,
right? Or top, all up there, yeah.
And then some idiots climbing the fence and weird.
Yeah, I love that. Right after you're gonna cut yourself, you idiot. Right, so stop doing it. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, it's
the
pretty
set
funny.
Continues.
I once climbed the fence at a Dylan show. I was with a couple of hippies in Massachusetts, and they had to get in. They didn't have tickets, so they climbed the fence, and they're like, it was a long line. They're like, come over. And I'm going over a barbed wire fence. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm at the top of the fence. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to lose my nuts. And so, like, I wish Bob Weir were there to help me out, man.
A barbed wire fence is sharp. Yeah, if you don't leapfrog it without, you're going to get hurt. But anyway, it's amazing. After the Eyes of the World, they do this incredible Promised Land that is
great,
so
is.
Bouncy and hot. And just, you know, you can tell they're like, so enjoying this Tuesday evening in Roosevelt Stadium. And this venue, to me, was the best venue they played. They were hotter at Roosevelt than any other stadium in this time period. It started with 7-18-72. That show is memorialized. You had the
I'm glad you mentioned
that,
because
that show.
That show I would even put ahead of this one just barely.
Yeah, that 7-18-72 show is ridiculous. One of their greatest shows of all time. It probably is a better show overall than this show, but then the 8-1-73 show on Jerry's birthday was also at Roosevelt Stadium. That show was phenomenal. Great Dark Star Morning Dew, phenomenal. So they love this venue. It's got all the New York City Deadheads a couple of miles, you know. It's amazing.
It's the New York City venue. Yeah. They weren't playing the Garden. They played the Nassau Coliseum. Yeah.
It's a great outdoor venue. They got all the fans there. It's a Tuesday night. You know, they're hitting every. It's just amazes me when I think of the history, too. You know, not just the songs, but where they're at in their time of evolution, where they're playing. You know, they love Roosevelt Stadium. The proof is right there. And the set's not even close to over. So, again, after that Promised Land, Howard, they do a deal, a great deal. These 74 deals are beautiful. This one's great. One of the best ones of the year. We also mentioned the one from Iowa City, 6-16, was phenomenal. Like, out of nowhere, they play a deal, and it's one of the hottest deals you'll ever hear. And then, to possibly even top the Eyes of the World, they do this, I think it's almost 37 minutes, the playing into Scarlet Begonias into playing in the band. It's like 37 minutes. I just heard it earlier today because I wanted to reinforce how good it was. And it just blew me away. It's better than I remembered. I heard it actually a couple of days ago, too, but I was driving in the car. So in my office, I was able to focus. And I'll tell you, Howie, that's to have the Eyes of the World and then this playing Scarlet playing to end the first set in the same set is just unbelievable. How did they do
it?
How did they pull it off?
Yeah, you get like the first half of this. You look at the second half of this first set. It's easily the best second half of any first set. That can't even be questioned.
Oh, far. No doubt. And ending it with
how was this, like 45 minutes to play in Scarlet playing? Did you?
It's like 37. I'm pretty positive it's like 37, yeah. And then you throw in a 19-minute Eyes. That's 56 minutes of music on just those songs right there. And then you got other songs that make up this set. Okay, getting back to that playing Scarlet playing, it's phenomenal. Jerry's hitting some great leads early. You know, I have this note in my head, similar to the notes at the end of the Eyes, that he hits in the playing, because I heard it again. It's just beautiful. He repeats it like 9 times. It's great, you know, and it's just like, what's he doing? And then everybody picks up something, you know. There's a conversation between Billy and him, with Donna and him, Keith. It's just great. Everybody's hitting their notes the way they should. It's very jazzy, you know. It's about 20-odd minutes, this playing back and forth, great jamming. There's a little lull, but then they get back into it. And then they hit this jam that I've never heard them do before. It's right before the Scarlet Begonias. It doesn't have a name. I like to call it, I know it sounds funny, but I call this name. It's not a joke like the I'll meet you at Frenchie's. I call it the big boy jam. Jerry's strutting his stuff out on the stage, you know, like he's the big boy. He's the main guy, you know, and he's hitting these fucking notes. And I'm like, how does he do that? Yo, when you listen to this playing in the band, folks, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's the funky jam.
This is probably the best of the playing in the bands from 74.
Oh,
a lot
I agree.
Of them are long, but there's just so much going on.
Yeah, as that one from develops, Seattle.
Man, there's these little jazzy outbreaks that are incredible. It's like there'll be 3 minutes of this and then 7 minutes of this. And it's like, you know, they're just coming up with stuff like out of pulling stuff out of the magicians, pulling stuff out of a hat, man. It's crazy. And,
yes. What really impresses me, Howie, they're very different from the 1973 play-ins and very, very different from the 72. It's amazing. Like year, it seems like each year is a benchmark into their evolution. Now, I think 72 is the best year for playing the band, but there's some
72
unbelievable
loyalist with the plan. Yeah.
There's some great planes in 73. Oh my God. You know, some beautiful ones, you know, one that comes off top. I had that one from, I think it's Lincoln, Nebraska, 2/26/73. Folks, listen to that one. You'll understand what I'm talking about. But this one is definitely the best of 74. Now there's a longer one, the 5/21/74 from Seattle, which was released on that box set. It's phenomenal. Yeah. That's like a 46-minute play in the band. It's great. It's got a lot of different themes. This one I like a little better because it's shorter, more focused. It's very focused. And like I said, it's got that big boy jam at the end where Jerry's just strutting his stuff. It's phenomenal. And then they go right into the Scarlet Begonias. I think it's kind of Billy who hits the initial notes. And then they go, I don't think this was pre-planned.
Oh, no way, man. It seemed like it was going like that Seattle one where they're just going to do like this crazy long play.
Exactly. A nice long. It would have been
then,
a 30
when they hit the big boy jam,
band.
They got into some kind of groove. And the groove almost, someone was thinking Scarlet when they heard that groove. And they probably even talked about it at the time. Like, let's go into Begonias.
Let's go into Scarlet. Exactly. Isn't that the beauty of the Grateful Dead? That improvisational, you know, you don't know where you're going next. And they do it and it sounds great. And I'm sure at the end of the first set, they're probably talking about it like, that was phenomenal. Great work, Billy, you know, because that was perfect. The Scarlet Begonias fit right in. And that Scarlet Begonias, I heard it again just a few hours ago, the outro jam is beautiful. There's some nice jamming. It's not the longest, but it's perfect. It really is. I couldn't believe, you know, they could have gotten away with it if it was a subpar or even an average Scarlet Begonias. But it's one of the best ones of the year. It's phenomenal. I love it. I love these Scarlets as much, if not better, than a lot of 77 ones. The only one that I can think of from 77 off the top of my head that I know I like better is probably Cornell. That's got a different variant, a great bounce to it. You know, the move, take a step back in the beginning of it. It's great.
They were managing Scarlet to get into Fire. They're working all that out. It was, you know.
Exactly.
But there is a loyal fan base that just loves standalone Scarlets. And I think
why. They're great. They're phenomenal. You know, this one is similar to those standalone, but unfortunately for them, the standalone guys, it's in the middle of this unbelievable playing the band. You take this Scarlet Begonias out, it's like a 30-minute playing the band. And I'll never forget this, my reaction. The other day I listened to it in the car and I couldn't believe how good the playing reprise was. And you had mentioned, I think, in your book, Howie, it's not that long. It's a little shorter than maybe some of the ones that we know. There's some great playing reprises. Another one that comes at the top of my head is 10/19/73, that Oklahoma City. That one's phenomenal. But this one is unreal. It comes out of nowhere. Jerry starts hitting these great notes. And I'm like, how could you? That ends the first set. And at that point, you realize this is one of the greatest sets they've ever done, first or second. To end with this 37-minute meet sequence, playing Scarlet playing, is just unbelievable. It's unfathomable how they had the energy to do that.
You're lucky in the second set, even in 74, if you get two major masterpieces. This, you know, they're getting in the first set, which never happened.
Correct.
You know, probably never happened ever, you know. Because when you talk about masterpiece, you're talking about something so just huge and long. Even like the Buffalo show we talk about, it might have the greatest music never stopped. It has Help on the Way, Slipknot, Franklin's.
Oh, yeah, that helped. Exactly. two incredible things in the same set. Yeah. How do you do that?
Just the end of the show, the end of this first set is ridiculous. And before we move on to set two, let's hear the end of that playing reprise. Well, Donna with some primal screams and just Jerry's nice licks at the end of this are incredible.
Yeah. This is great. Enjoy, folks.
An eternal masterpiece of a first set here, 8674 Roosevelt Stadium. And before we go to set two, I want 20 seconds or less your comments on Phil and Ed.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't listen to it because I had time constraints and everything. But from some of the reviews I read, some people say this is one of the better ones. I think it's like 16 minutes and it's focused. You know, it's an early one. They only started doing it, I think, on June 23rd at the Highlight Front. And that was the first one. So, yeah, I get it. Look, if I had the time, I would listen to it. It doesn't detract. I like it. I really do. Yeah. I like Ned. I think it's Ned Lejeune, not Lagan. I think it's pronounced Lejeune or something. But yeah, it's pretty good from what I've read in the reviews. So, yeah.
Yeah, hey, if you're at the show, it's like a little bonus thing. Like they had the Chip and Z come out after that. And it's a little bonus thing. It's some noise. I tried listening to it and it's some noise. That's all I came away with. I want to be nicer, but you know, it wasn't that great. I did have to skip forward to set two after about 5 minutes of it.
Right. When you add that Sea Stones, I guess is what they were calling it, to the show, you know, it's a good 4 hour show. And even though the rest of the band wasn't playing, that still leshes out there.
And if you were there with the wall of sound, that's coming out of the wall of sound. That's
Must be cool.
That's an experience. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. That must have been cool. I wonder what's going through these people's minds. You just had one of the greatest first sets you ever heard. And then you're like, holy shit. I mean, if you're a Deadhead and you know their music, you just finish that playing after the Eyes of the World, then you get the playing Scarlet Begonias fire into playing back reprise. How the hell? You got to capture your thoughts. You got to, like, I would be sitting down saying, what the fuck did I just witness? because it would have been profound for me. I know it. I would have been just looking up, talking to people. Do you believe what we just heard? That's one of the greatest shit I've ever heard. This band is on fire.
Even hearing the Sea Stones after that might be profound, just because it's coming out of the wall of sound and you're there. You know, it's
exactly what is this? You know, you probably didn't know that they did this. But getting to the second set, Howie, I know, you know, it probably doesn't match the first set, but there's some big moment. I think there's 17 songs after the break, some including the encore. It's long and it's fabulous.
Definitely some great stuff. Once again, it's like very heavy at certain points. A little lopsided. The funny thing about this show, it's so spectacular, but it's lopsided. Like this, the first set's much better than the second half. This one, certain parts really stand out. One of the standouts right away is the Uncle John's.
I agree. A lot of people think this is the best Uncle John's of the year, and it is. It's up there, top three. Beautiful. I think we have 10 minutes left, but obviously it made sense to spend more time on the first set. But yeah, this Uncle John's is beautiful. And it's hard to believe that they'll go from an Uncle John's band and do another Jerry song, and one that they don't do very often, didn't do very often in 1974. Which is Black Peter. I love Black Peter in that time period. I really do. It's such a great song. You know, I don't hear Black Peter that often because, you know, I listened to a lot of 72, 73, and 74. Those are my years. But when I heard it listening to it the other day in the car, I couldn't believe it. It's beautiful. Jerry's voice, you know, reinforces the lyrics. I tell you, it was just great to hear that.
Yeah, it was singing great on this night. I think the reason they went into it, there was a string broken. It sounded like they were going into El Paso. And then they chose Black,
which would have made sense. Right. Yeah. Jerry, then a Bob song. Yeah. But yeah, I guess they couldn't start it. But they do El Paso not long after that. But I'll tell you, this Black Peter is beautiful. In fact, it's the next song. The El Paso is nice. I always make a point to listen to the El Paso for Jerry's picking and during the lyrics, you know, because I know the lyrics everybody does while Bobby's singing. And this one's beautiful. I tell you, those old, you know, a lot of people probably like 77 El Pasos. I get that. You know, I love the ones from 72 to 74. To me, those are the best. I just love the sound of Jerry's guitar. I like Bob singing. He doesn't forget the lyrics usually in that time period. You know, this one nails it. You know, it's just a perfect El Paso, you know, beautiful.
And then Loose Lucy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Loose Lucy obviously debuted in 73. Those were the best versions. They were great. They're six. Some of them close to 7 minutes. They got a little more concise in 74. They're about 5 minutes and change because they just, you know, they didn't extend the jam as much. But this one's good. Jerry always forgets the lyrics in Loose Lucy. That's if you ask people and you counted, what is the number one song for Jerry to forget lyrics? It's easily Loose Lucy. He does it every song.
I'm not a huge Loose Lucy fan. I get that.
I you know, it's funny. I turned my son on to a lot of Grateful Dead songs because he's with me in the car. This is one song he really doesn't like. He's like, Dad, could you skip over this one? He doesn't like Loose Lucy. I do. I happen to like Loose Lucy. It's just a cool song, you know? And I like the jam. Some of them have a cool jam in it. This one's okay. You know, it's your typical 74, 5 minutes and change. You know, it does what it's supposed to do. Jerry's song. But the next song, oh, my God. Yeah. After Loose Lucy, they turn the heat up on this big river. And I forgot how hot this big river, Howie. It's one of the best ones of the year. It really is.
Very hot.
It's got a
hot.
fire jam. That last solo. Oh my God. It's beautiful. He's going nuts. I was laughing. There was a laugh coming out of me. I heard it. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And he still had another round to go. So the second to last round, he probably does four rounds of the lead. Oh my God. That third round, it's just scintillating. It's
the river's
hot.
Amazing. So, this version's incredible. It's not, you can take it for granted sometimes because they did it so much, but it always delivered, especially 74 versions, man.
Yeah. 73 is when they really started with the song. If you recall, in 1972, they were good versions, but they didn't have those long outro jams. You know, it was maybe two rounds, one round sometimes. Then in 73, they really opened it up. Those were the big rivers that we're used to. And then they took it maybe a step further in 74. We had the discussion with the one from Iowa City, Eyes of the World into Big River. Phenomenal Big River. I also mentioned you guys got to hear one from, I think the date must be 5/17/74 from Vancouver. Oh, my.
Hey, and since you mentioned Buffalo War Memorial, that 5/9/77 show.
Yes, that's the best one from 77.
That's a great Big River.
Best one. From after 74, you know, after the hiatus. That's the best post-hiatus Big River. But I'm telling you, this one, just How hot could a band be? You know what I'm saying? After that incredible first set, the Uncle John's the Black Peter, you know, they're just really hitting on all cylinders to throw out a big river.
And because
hot.
Of time considerations, we got Ship of Fools, Me and Mom, Uncle, and Road Jimmy. Anything spectacular you need to throw in there about
well,
those?
Well, the Ship of Fools is really well sung. Beautiful. I remember thinking that while I heard it. It's a great Ship of Fools, you know? It really is. I like the Me and My Uncle's short, you know, so it's less than 3 minutes. I heard it the other day. It's nice, you know? Look, the 74 Me and My Uncle's aren't as great to me as like 72 or even 73, but they serve their purpose. You know, it's a Bob song, it's a short song. The Road Jimmy is nice. I love Road Jimmy. Look, that's my the 73 Road Jimmies are the best. That's when
they
started.
First came out with it, no doubt.
And some of the jams in Road Jimmy are heartfelt. Jerry's sound and tone are beautiful. A lot of times, you know, it sounds like he's playing slide guitar, which he did later on in like 77. These 74 Road Jimmies are good to me, not as good as the ones from 73. That's my opinion.
All right, now we move to the third major masterpiece of the night, and it comes in such an inconspicuous situation, Sugar Magnolia. This is freaking incredible. Before we talk about it, let me just play the jam for you. It's the most joyous thing I think I've ever heard. There it is, the Sugar Mag. So different than any other Sugar Mag. First, you got Jerry with those beautiful leads, just so artistic, man. So just incredible. And there's such joy in the band. Everybody's kind of watching Jerry, kind of playing along. then they hit this ending thing with just, it's insane, man. It's just, this is the
Yeah.
most joyous music I've ever heard in my life. May not be the best Sugar Mag, but every time I hear it, if I had hair, it would be standing on end.
Yeah, Howie, you were smart because you identified the Sugar Magnolia in your book, you know, with the evolution of the 33, you know, Grateful Dead jams. Now, you mentioned the Eyes of World, of course. You mentioned the playing in your book because this playing is that good, the best one of 74. We agree. And this Sugar Magnolia, I didn't really know as well, but after reading your book and looking at it, I was like, okay, I love 74 Sugar Mags. Let me check it out. And you were right. Now, I remember listening to, you know, a year or so ago and saying, yeah, this is good stuff. But when I heard it the other day, I think it was yesterday, I was sitting outside. I went to a place to go eat, and they told me it was going to be 30 minutes. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just continue listening to Roosevelt Stadium again.
Enough time to hear
and
the Sugar Mag
car,
three times in a row.
And I listened to that Sugar Mag, and he's hitting these unbelievable notes. Again, I have them in my head, those notes that you were talking about at the end. And I'm like, how he's onto something. This is very different. He hits some incredible fast picking notes, and then at the end he goes into this like a bossa nova type or whatever you want to call it. It's amazing. It really is.
It's crazy.
How
man.
Does he think of this stuff? You know, the rest of the band is flying with him, so it's not just Jerry, but of course he's the catapult, and he's just hitting these notes that I've never heard before. Where did he think of this shit? You know,
and you can tell the band's feeding off him. You can picture like Jerry turning around to the band. They're all just
exactly.
like dancing
oh,
to the
yeah.
chord
He's
rhythm.
Looking at Bob and smiling. There's no doubt that in a moment like that, they're looking at each other. That's got to be the greatest feeling in the world. When you create music this good, you could look out over the audience and see their reaction. My God, I should have been a musician. I just wouldn't have been that good, you know.
Yeah.
But this is
sometimes it's better to enjoy it. I think sometimes we got to enjoy Jerry's music more than he did after the fact.
Oh, you're
so
right. Right. By being these
sometimes it's better just
being
to be
his biggest fans.
An insane fan. So that's great. They didn't do the Sunshine Daydream.
No.
They
come
right
to a
He's
stop
Gone.
And go right into He's Gone, which is a great
beautiful.
He's Gone. It's beautiful. Yeah. Great singing at the end. You know, all four of them improvising. You got Jerry, Bobby, Phil, and Donna all singing together. They sound great. You know, it's perfect. Great trucking, you know, not one of the best. Well, you want a great trucking from 74. You know, you listen to 731, the one from Connecticut I just mentioned from Hartford. And of course, the one from Portland, Maine, that 51974 trucking is unbelievable, as is the one from Iowa City. This one's definitely great. You know, I liked it.
Yeah.
Listening though, afterwards, you get the Spanish jam. And when they hit, it's usually Billy on his drums, you start listening, you hear that tempo change to go into that Spanish jam. To me, that's one of the greatest moments because
I love
Spanish
jam.
Fucking love that song.
74, they
Howie.
Did so many great ones, man.
And oh my God.
They're like
incredible.
Jerry laid back, he let Phil steal the early part. Phil played some
Correct.
Freaking great bass.
Phil's going nuts on that. Jerry hit some really beautiful
leads. Our last audio highlight from the show, let's get a little bit of that Spanish jam. Spanish Jam. Great. Jerry starts kicking in.
And then, yeah, we got less than a minute, but just folks, you know, they got this other one jam into the other one where they sing the lyrics, which is really nice. And I just don't want to forget mentioning the last lead in the Going Down the Road Feeling Bad. Jerry comes out like a cannon and hits these incredible notes to start that last jam. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Howie, I think you might, if you have time, you could play that for him. You won't believe how hot this is. He shoots it out of a cannon.
It's not
and
a
that
long
basically
jam,
ends
it,
the
it
show.
Comes out, it comes out like it's a barn burner out of the chute.
It's unbelievable. Then, of course, they get the Sunshine Daydream, which is beautiful. It's nice and long. And then you get the U.S. Blues Encore. Perfect show. Five stars.
That U.S. Blues. That U.S. Blues.
Oh, it's
really
incredible.
Me too.
Easily one of the best shows of 1974. I'll put it in top three easily.
Definitely. And that concludes my Zoom call with Doug. Thanks for joining us again on the show, Doug. So we get the 40-minute Zoom call in, and we both agree we like the pressure of that 40-minute Zoom call. Helps keep the show concise, the podcast concise. And what a great night that was. August 6, 1974, Roosevelt Stadium. Just once again, going over the end of the show, you have that the big jams section of the show begins with Sugar Mag, into He's Gone, into Truckin', into Spanish Jam, into the other one, into Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, and then they come back and finish off the Sunshine Daydream and a U.S. Blues Encore. It's awesome. The Sugar Mag is nuts. But after that point, the last grouping of songs, there's some good stuff there, but probably not as strong as some of the other freeform improvisation from some other 1974 shows. That was the strength of like a lot of 74 shows, where they would go into a trucking and just pull out a great 20-minute jam, like Des Moines and Portland. Just that one of the strengths of 74, definitely those long freeform jams. You really don't get that at Roosevelt Stadium, but the best of this show is probably better than any other show that the Grateful Dead ever played. When they hit it on this night, the highs are as high as it could get. This is as great as music can get. That Eyes of the World, me and Doug both agreed. We hadn't spoken about it beforehand, but an all-time great performance. You could consider it the greatest performance. I'd probably put some other stuff up there too with it for consideration. But that might come in at number one if I really sat down. We don't have to rank these things, but that's worthy of being called the greatest performance ever. And the Sugar Magnolia, man, for me, that's probably like somewhere 5 to 10 greatest of all time, because there's so many awesome jams in Sugar Magnolia. But it's my favorite. Every time I hear it, I'm just, I want to get up and dance. And, it's such an upbeat, uplifting piece of music, man. Every single time I hear it, it really touches me, man. It's incredible. You got that, the playing Scarlet playing Unheralded Territory there. The only time they ever did that combination like that. And they made it count, man. Brilliant stuff. Yeah, so the highs of this show, as Doug mentioned during the podcast in my book Deadology, I wrote about it's the 33 essential jam anthems of the Grateful Dead. There's four that I consider all-time greats that made the book. I don't know if any other show quite has that under its belt, man. So this show, when it clicked, as good as music can get. That's the brilliance of this Roosevelt Stadium show. And great overall, but the highs are probably higher than any other show, man. And in 1974, once again, we're talking about the freeform jamming and all that. The strength of this show is the jamming within the songs, which it makes it really kind of like a standout, a little different than the other 74 shows. But magnificent and arguably the best, or one of the three best of the year. And we have another great one coming up in September. I'm not sure what I'm doing for the podcast next week, but I got Doug coming back in September. We're going to talk about the Alexandria Palace September 10th show. That one's a doozy, man. What a great morning dew. And a lot of great stuff on that show. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting Doug back again. And hey, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. My website, tangledupintunes.com. You can get all my books there, podcast, other various links. And hey, man, enjoy the days between and the days after the days between, man. 365 days a year. We got the music of Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. It's a blessing. Hey, once again, thanks for listening. Speak to you next week. Peace out.